Now, if someone offered you a way to invest money and guaranteed that you would at least double your money, I'm sure your ears would prick up and you would be interested, because something like that would be something that, an investment like that would be something that you'd be very keen about doing. An opportunity too good to miss. But the good news is that there is an investment in which you will more than double what you invest in. In fact, what you receive will dwarf the little bit that you invest. And that, of course, is the investment that Jesus talks about. You know the story of the parables Jesus told about the man who was going away on business for a long time? So he entrusted his property to his servants. To one he gave 5 talents, and the servant who had 5 talents invested it and was able to give his master 10 talents when his master returned. And there was another one who got 2 talents and doubled it as well. But the third servant got 1 talent, and instead of investing it, he dug a hole and put it in the ground. And when his master came back, he handed him back exactly what he had been given. He did nothing with what he had been given. And the servant who didn't invest what he had been given and had nothing to show his master, he lost it all. Jesus was teaching us that those who invest themselves in working for the gospel will receive more than they ever invested. And the passage from Ecclesiastes 11 explains all this. The Lord wants us to think of serving him as investing our lives in bringing his kingdom into the world. We invest our lives in serving the Lord. And every believer has the opportunity to do this. But we're going to be thinking about one group of people, one group of believers, of the many around the world who are doing this. And we're going to be thinking tonight about Calvary Mission in County Mayo. The mission began in 1998 when the first church was planted in Westport, County Mayo. And since then, they have been investing their lives in bringing the gospel to that part of Ireland. The aims of Calvary Mission, this quote comes from their website. It tells us their purpose. Calvary Mission is a network of Christians working together to establish Bible-centered churches in Ireland. We are currently active in the counties of Mayo, Galway, Longford, and Roscommon. Our aim is the planting of church-planting churches through evangelism, discipleship, and leadership training. That's what they plan to do. That's what they seek to do. That's their reason for being, to plant Bible-believing churches that are church-planting churches. So in other words, they just won't establish a church and let it grow to whatever size it does. But when the church reaches a certain size, they'll take some of the people from that church and they'll plant them in another town or village somewhere away from them. So the church continues to seek to invest its members in reaching out to others with the gospel. And it's this organization that the Lord has called us as a family to serve him with, to serve him through. And that's what we're going to look through Ecclesiastes 11 tonight. That'll help us to see what the Lord wants us to do. The first thing we read in Ecclesiastes 11 is that we need to invest what we have. Because investing is exactly what the businessman did in this chapter. Because he wanted to sell his bread overseas. So he loaded his bread onto ships and sent them off to those who were really in need. You see, he cast his bread in many waters. And that's exactly what believers are supposed to do. We are to cast our bread on many waters. Now, obviously, it's not talking about putting your loaf of bread on the local river, but it means sharing the bread we have. And who is the bread we have? Of course, it is Jesus, because he is the bread of life. And if bread in those days was essential for life, how much more essential is Jesus for life now? Almost everybody you meet has an opinion of who Jesus is. They may say he is a good teacher. They may say that he was a great leader, a good moral example who died too soon. Or maybe they don't care, or they don't think he's anything relevant for them. And when people think of religion, of Jesus, they think of religion. And when people think of religion, religion means, for many people, keeping the rules, doing your best, and not having any fun. People in the south used to live in a very religious society where their lives were controlled by religion, and the church had a great influence in that whole country. But Jesus and religion are very different, because, as we know, religion says, do your best, keep the rules, and you'll be okay. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and life to the full. And those who serve with Calvary Mission invest their lives, their time, and their energy in sharing the good news of Jesus with many people. And they've been doing that since the mission was founded in 1998. They bring the gospel to a place where there has, for historical reasons, been very little evangelical witness. You know, going back to Ecclesiastes 11, if the trader was to send his ships out overseas with bread to sell, he might worry that he isn't going to get a good return on his investment because of all the risks that were involved in him sending his ships overseas loaded with his bread. And it's only natural for those who invest their lives by casting their bread in many waters to feel daunted by the task that's ahead of them. But when we invest in God's kingdom, there's a promise in verse 1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. So when we share the good news with others, we might not see much fruit now, if you like. There might not be any reward that we can see for it. We might not see people coming to faith in Christ now. But the Lord promises that if we cast our bread on many waters, then there will be a reward. You know, this is a promise for every believer who shares the gospel to hold on to, because when we serve the Lord, we serve by faith. There might not be much encouragement in this life, but when we don't see the results we want to see, but the Bible says that the Lord promises a reward for those who invest their lives and who live and serve by faith. You know, we are to invest our lives in sharing the bread we have. And as we know, Jesus is that bread. And verse 2, it tells us to give a portion to 7 or to 8. For you do not know what disaster will come on the world. You see, we all know we live in a very bad world. You hear the news, and probably every day since the coronavirus pandemic started, every day contains the news bulletins contain the number of people who have been newly infected or the number of deaths that have resulted from coronavirus. And that's only coronavirus. Never mind the disasters that we see happening all around the world. In places like Afghanistan, we see how Western society is eating itself up with the new progressive culture that we all live in. And so gospel ministry is about bringing hope to people, because we all live in a world where we do not know what disaster is going to happen next, as Ecclesiastes 2 tells us. People face uncertain futures, and so they need to know and have that hope that comes through Christ. You know, if you love the Lord, the greatest hope anyone can ever have is to know Jesus in the way that you do, and to have that hope in your life. And yet many don't have that hope. So one of the things that drew us to serve with Calvary Mission was the great need in that part of Ireland. Now, you living in a hall have 3 Presbyterian churches. I know there's a Church of Ireland church, and I'm sure there's probably a Baptist church, a Free Presbyterian church, a Methodist church, and a Pentecostal church, and probably a few other types of churches as well. And there's certainly plenty of churches. You're spoiled for choice in a hall. And don't forget, you live down the road from Ballymena, and who knows how many places there are in Ballymena where you can hear the gospel being preached. When we lived in Moneymore, there was a Presbyterian church, there was a Baptist church, a Brethren Assembly, there was a Church of Ireland church, and that was just within the village. Never mind going out further into the country, never mind the churches in Cookstown and Harfelt and the other churches in the country as well. All of these places where people can go and hear the good news of Jesus. We are spoilt in this country because we have been blessed by so much. There are so many Bible-believing churches in the north of Ireland. Some statisticians say that within a 50-mile radius of Belfast is the best evangelized place in the world. Now, that's the privilege that we have all grown up in and know. And yet, if we travel further south, we find a great spiritual need where there are very few Bible-believing churches. In fact, there are 50 towns with a population of more than 5,000 people that are without any evangelical witness. The number of Bible-believing Christians in the south of Ireland is about 1% of the population. It's tiny. You think of what it's like up here in the north. Think of how different it is a few hours down the south. So if we have something good to share, we should want to share it with many people. Because people without Christ are people without hope. And they are people who need to hear the good news. That's why, as verse 1 says, we should, or verse 2 says, we should give a portion to 7 or 8. Share the gospel with as many people as possible. Yes, there are risks, but the Lord promises that there will be a reward, that there will be a harvest for those who share the good news with others. Secondly, we invest in casting our bread in many waters, even though it won't be easy. Verses 3 and 4. You know, as I said, a trader sending out his ships takes a big risk because he might not see his ships again. They might be destroyed in a storm. They might be captured by pirates, could sink, and he would lose everything. And so those who cast their bread in many waters or serve the Lord are taking risks because it's not easy. But the Lord gives us some examples to encourage us to share the gospel. He uses an example from nature to encourage us that we might seem random and outside of our control. But as we know, the Lord is in control of everything. It's verse 4. Whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. You see, we know that none of us can stop a cloud sending the rain or rain falling from the cloud. It just happens. You can't stop it. And this verse speaks of a farmer going out to sow seeds or to reap his harvest. And he looks up at the clouds and it's grey. And it looks like it's going to be a real downpour. And so he looks at the clouds and thinks, you know something, I'm not going to go out and do anything because I don't know if I'm going to get it done in time. It might rain, I might lose everything, it might turn out to be a disaster, so I'll sit back and do nothing. But the verse tells us that if he keeps on watching the wind, he will not plant. And if he keeps on going by what he can see, the clouds, he will not reap. But we're told, obviously, in this verse, not to be like that. Not to look at the difficulties, not to look at the challenges, but to get on with what the Lord, with what every believer should be doing, serving the Lord. Personally speaking, these verses, the meaning of this verse came home to me whenever we were considering applying for Calvary Mission and going through the whole process of trying to find out if the Lord was guiding us down this direction in life. We went down to Westport, where the first church was planted, in Calvary Mission, and in Westport, the first, should I say, Calvary Mission, the first church that was planted in Westport. And we had a great weekend. We talked with some of the people who worked down there, and we were really encouraged. It just seemed such an exciting thing. That was on a Saturday. On the Sunday, we went to the church, and both my wife and I started to really think seriously and deeply about this. Were we wise in doing this? I mean, this is a big change for us from what we were doing, from what we had expected to be doing for the rest of our lives, working within the Presbyterian Church, serving in a local congregation. And yet the Lord, we were wondering, was the Lord calling us to this? And it looked really difficult. And to be honest with you, when we saw all the mountain that we had to climb before we could even get down there, it just seemed so impossible. The challenges of bringing our family down there and of everything that's involved in that, we both thought, are we wise? Do we really want to do this? And it seemed such an easy thing just to give up and just to forget about the whole idea. But we came home that Sunday night, and my daily Bible readings for that day were from Ecclesiastes 11. And this verse just jumped out to me from the page. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. In other words, don't look at the difficulties, but just get on with what you have to do. Now, I read that verse and I thought I knew what it meant, but I went to study and found a book, a commentary on Ecclesiastes, and read it just to check that I really wasn't imagining this. And I read it and I thought, well, that's what the Lord's saying to us, that we've got to go with this. Don't look at the difficulties, but go and serve the Lord. That's what the Lord was saying. You know, it's not only difficult obstacles for people to work down in the south, but culturally there are many obstacles to gospel work in County Mayo, because for historical reasons, the gospel has had limited impact in that part of Ireland. Evangelical Christians are regarded as something like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, like a cult. And even though the power and influence of the Roman Catholic Church has declined, people will still see themselves very much as being culturally Catholic. They'll want to get their child, as they would say, christened and confirmed, and they'll want to be married in a chapel, and they'll want to get buried in the chapel. And they really want those things. And so they're on board as far as being a Catholic is concerned to that extent. And it's almost enough to inoculate them from trying to discover who Jesus is. Add on to that the rise in secularism, with little interest in anything spiritual or eternal, because their minds are so fixed on what is temporary and what is seen, rather than what is eternal and what is unseen. As someone said, gospel work in County Mayo, it's like ploughing granite. Serving the Lord is never easy, because it's a spiritual battle we're in. The minds of unbelievers are blinded by the devil, who blinds them to the glory of Christ, so they cannot see his glory, and they exchange worshipping the one who made them for the things that they own. And yet, if we look at all these reasons which seem to work against the gospel, we wouldn't bother. But as in all things in life, nothing worthwhile is ever achieved easily. Verse 4 encouraged myself and my wife to consider and to continue in the process of applying and of going to work with Calvary Mission. And should encourage us to keep on serving the Lord, because he is in control of all things. And thirdly, we're told to invest in something that will be successful in verses 5 and 6. One of the most comforting truths for every believer is that the Lord is sovereign, and that the Lord's working out his plan and his purpose for his people. So when things seem impossible, remember, they're not with God. Brother Andrew, who spent a lot of his life smuggling Bibles into Eastern Europe, once said, when things seem impossible, then he gets excited. He knew that when things seemed impossible, God was going to do something great. And when we think of the great task the Lord has given his people, even though it seems impossible from a human perspective, we should be excited, because the Lord is at work. And we need to keep this in mind to encourage us. And verses 5 and 6 remind us of God's providence in two ways. In verse 5, we read, we don't know the way the Spirit comes to the bones of a woman with child, so we do not know the work of God who makes everything. We don't know, and it also says, we don't know the way the wind is blowing. You can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, but you can see its effects. That's actually not in the ESV. It is in the New King James Version and in other versions of the Bible, but there are two, for some reason it's not in this that I can see anyway. But that doesn't matter, because it's in the New King James Version, so I don't know for some reason why it's not in the ESV. But anyway, enough of that. And that's sort of thrown me now from what I was going to say. But anyway, verse 5 says, you don't know how the Lord forms a baby in his mother's womb. And Jesus used both of these illustrations when he's speaking to Nicodemus. Remember, he said to Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it wants to. You can't hear its sound, but you can tell where it is. You can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going, but you can see its effects. Remember, he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. He was showing Nicodemus how important God's sovereignty is in bringing someone to faith, because it's a work of God. And that's what Ecclesiastes 11 says. It's a work of God. Just as how a baby is formed in its mother's womb, just as how the wind blows and we can't see its effects, the Lord is doing something. And we can trust in his power to achieve what he wants, because he will save whoever he wants to. The Bible is clear about the Lord's purpose. In Revelation, we read of a people with a great number of people which can't be counted from every nation and tribe and language that are meeting together and worshiping God in the new heaven and the new earth. These are the people whom God has chosen and in whom he has redeemed from every part of the world, from every period of history, from every people and nation and tribe. God is drawing people to himself to worship him. And that's what the Lord is doing now. Despite COVID, despite the rise in secularism and atheism in society, despite the fact that people are turning their backs on God, God is still building his church. Do you know, when we think of the changes in the South over the past 40 years, we've got to remember that we don't know what God is doing, but we can be assured that God is working. He is bringing in his kingdom. We see the changes in the South. We see the decline of organized religion. We see the rise in the wealth of the South and how people are more prosperous and are becoming more secular very quickly. We see how people are being left behind, and there are many poor who haven't enjoyed the growth in wealth that many people in the South have. And the Lord is using these for his kingdom. It used to happen in the South that if maybe 40 or 50 or more years ago, if someone went into a town to share the gospel, they were told that they had to get out within half an hour, or else they wouldn't be those in charge wouldn't be responsible for the consequences of what would happen if they didn't leave immediately. But things have changed, because now there is an openness and a spiritual hunger which the rise in secularism and materialism will never fill. If you had asked people 40 years ago about the possibility of planting gospel, Bible-believing churches in Ireland and in the west of Ireland, they would have been sceptical. But that's a reality now. We think of because the gospel is taking root and changing lives. Think of the new Presbyterian church that was planted in Donabit a few years ago. Plans have been drawn up for it to plant another church nearby. Around Cork, 8 new Baptist churches have been planted, and many other new Bible-believing fellowships are springing up all around the country. A few years ago, we went on holidays to a place called Dungarvan on the very south coast of Ireland in Waterford, and we found this little fellowship meeting together on a Sunday morning, people who loved the Lord, people who had been saved. It was small, but yet they were being a vibrant witness, and you could sense the Lord's presence with them as they met together to worship him. And you know, the changes in society that are taking place in the South aren't happening randomly. But the Lord is at work, doing something new, building up his church. We might not see it all. We might not understand exactly all the Lord is doing, but he is building up his church. And verse 6, we read that because the Lord is working out his purpose, it's to keep on serving the Lord. We should keep on serving him, just as a farmer needs to continue to sow the seed in the morning. Verse 6 says, in the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, whether both alike will be good. The Lord has begun to do a gospel work, a new gospel work, and that's what the Lord has called us as a family to be involved in. And Calvary Mission is a part of what the Lord is doing. From small beginnings in 1998, when Podge Mulville planted the first church in Westport, the work has grown and lives have been changed. Some of you may know a new church that was opened, a building was opened in Westport a few years ago, and plans are being put in place to build a new place for the church to meet in the town of Castlebar. There are over 25 people working in teams across different villages in County Mayo and in some of the surrounding towns. If you ever receive their prayer letters, especially from Karen Burns and Rhonda Glass, they're always full of stories about people that they have met and made contact with, people whom they have shared the gospel with. Some of those people coming to faith, but sadly many not. New churches have been planted in places like Clare Morris, Ballina, Charlestown, Loughrea, and Longford. You think of the shop in Westport where Karen Burns and Rhonda Glass that I mentioned share the gospel with people. This is not easy. It involves hard work, door-to-door evangelism, open-air outreaches, and children's work like holiday Bible clubs. The whole point of church planting, it's like to be a missionary, to make as many contacts with as many people as possible, to get to know them and then share the gospel with them. These new churches meet mainly in leisure centres and schools and community centres. And all this is possible because the Lord is behind it. As we move down there, hopefully in the summer of 2022, we're looking forward to the possibility of hopefully working with the church in Ballinagh. For all those who serve with Calvary Mission, support is essential. Many have supported us prayerfully and financially. Of course, when we go down there, we won't be hoping to build a new church building as such, but what we will be doing is sharing the good news with people, hoping to build up people who belong to the Lord, people who love the Lord. You know, the Lord uses ordinary people like you and I in his service, and he can use you even though you might not have been called to go. So would you consider partnering with us in this work and in being a part of what the Lord is doing in drawing people to himself? Would you consider supporting myself and our family, wife Jo, and our children, Andrew, Samuel, Sarah, and Joshua? Could you support us prayerfully and financially, helping us to spread the gospel to people who've never heard it before? I'm sure many of us can remember hearing the gospel and knowing our need of a Savior and of our need to be born again from our earliest days. I certainly can remember it from even before I was able to think. Certainly before I was at school, I was just old enough to look out the back seat of our car and look out the window and stand up and still not hit my head off the roof. So I was quite young when I remember thinking to myself, what's all this about being born again? And I'm sure many of us can say the same thing as well. You might not be able to go, but you can still invest in God's kingdom in an investment that has eternal rewards. On the way out, there are some prayer cards for us, so you can remember to pray for us. You can sign up in the back if you'd like to support us financially, or if you'd like to receive our prayer letter whenever we move down south to find out more what we're doing, so you can pray for us. You can also tick that. You can leave it off with me tonight or even on Sunday night when I'm back, Lord willing, or else you can post it off to One Mission Society, who are our sending agency, if you like. Their address is printed on the back here, One Mission Society, Hollywood Road, Belfast. So if you'd like to take one of those, there's ample for everybody here. And if you aren't enough, then please let me know and I'll bring some back, Lord willing, on Sunday night. But can I just close? There's just a few things I'd like you to pray for us. Oh, you're not able to read that. It's very small. I can hardly read it here either. Some things that you could pray for us. Pray the Lord would open up a door for us to share the gospel with people in Mayo. Pray that we will daily have opportunities to share the gospel with people. And pray that as a family, we'll walk closely with the Lord. Pray that many would turn to Jesus for salvation and that we would serve him, the Lord, obediently. And pray for us that the Lord would guide us to exactly where he wants us to live. Pray he would provide us with somewhere to serve. Pray that our children would settle in well to their new schools and make friends and that they would grow in their faith and that the Lord will provide for us financially. So if you could remember some of those things to pray for us, pray for the Montgomery family, John, Joe, Andrew, Samuel, Sarah, and Joshua, your prayers would be very much appreciated.